Come on, God is good. I said, God is good. He's faithful. You know what else? He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. It's the power, you know, it's just incredible. He is an ever-present help. I just love the fact that He said that we could come boldly before the throne of grace. Let me say that one more time. That we could come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. And here's the way it works. Oftentimes, it's like this. Watch. You call out. You call out. Did we lose it? You call out. Hallelujah. There we are. I don't know what's happened. God is good all the time, right? So we call out for God to for help. And then you know what? He uses somebody else to bring that help. Right? He uses somebody else to bring that help. And so sometimes when we're getting that little nudge to call somebody, we're getting that nudge, hey, you know, call that person, take them out for coffee, or you know, that God's got a word of encouragement for that person through you. Through you. It doesn't have to be here at church. Come on, it could be at your home. It could be at your work. It could be at Starbucks. You know, God will move in Starbucks. Yes. In fact, let's just declare God is going to move in Starbucks, right? Hallelujah. From state to state, all throughout the nation and the world, God is, let's just use Starbucks for His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. But this month, this month specifically, we're going to talk about resources for change. Resources for change. Why is that? Because God wants to have your heart so that He can have your resources to use for change. Amen. And again, this isn't necessarily... Do you need me to switch to the handheld? Because it's kind of all over. Anyway, He wants us to be available to be used for Him. Come on, He wants you to be available, but here's the mentality that we have to have, and we're going to discuss this further. I'm not after your money, and God's not after your money. He's after your heart. I said He's after your heart. Now watch this. This is so good. That the moment that you get born again, and you give Jesus your life, and He becomes Lord of your life, you transfer everything over into His name. Let me say that again. You transfer everything over into His name because you no longer are a possessor of you. You still can make choices, right? You can still absolutely violate that spirit that's on the inside of you. But the reality is, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. Therefore, I'm at His disposal. So the point is that we are owners of nothing, but we are stewards of the kingdom of heaven. Stewards of the kingdom of heaven is so good. It's so good. Hallelujah. I'll stay out of that spot. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this is our theme verse for this month. And we're going to talk about money, but not from the standpoint, again, I've been to places, and so have you, where offerings have been taken and there's manipulation and all that happens. You'll never hear that here. Right? I believe in giving. I believe in generosity. I believe in tithing. I believe in all of that. But it's not my job to try to pull something out of you. Because you're not my source. He's my source. I praise God for your generosity. And this church has done so many things over the years that we shouldn't have been able to do because of our size, but we've done it. We've done it. Let me just give you an example of that. We went to Uganda years ago, and I think we're going to be going back, but we went to Uganda years ago, and I said, and we're going to go over there, and it costs a lot of money to go. I mean, a lot of money to go. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, help us. And he did. But I said, and we're going to leave $10,000 over there. This little church. And you know what we did? We did, because God used us as a resource, because he's the source that wanted to bless them. Right? Now get that. Get that into your heart. He's always the source. But then God can use his resources. Your job is not your source. Your bank account is not your source. Right? Your Social Security is not your source. Right? God is your source. And the more that you can get that into your heart, the less stress money will have. Right? Because if I lose this job, or if Social Security goes bankrupt, God's able, right? Well, let me read this before I get too far ahead of myself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 6. And just let me give you the background before this is going. This particular church had promised an offering to go to Jerusalem to help the saints that were in Jerusalem that were under severe persecution. And the saints, these were Jewish believers in Jerusalem, they had lost everything. Because when they made Jesus the Lord of their life, their family disowned them. The jobs that they had, they no longer had. Provision that they had before, they were on the outcasts of society. And so Paul said, we're going to Jerusalem, we're going to take an offering for the saints that are in Jerusalem. And remember, you promised or pledged to do it. And so he's reminding them of this. And this is the context of what we're talking about. Verse 6, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let me just ask you this. Can you sow bountifully if you don't have? You can't, right? I mean... And I've seen this before. Let me just tell you the story. This is funny. This is funny. Years ago, they had pastor appreciation, and they got, you know, us pastors this beautiful package of going on this trip and this, you know, whatever. And we actually got the certificates for it. But the persons whose heart was to bless us with this didn't have the finances to pay for it. So we get this mad call at the last minute. Don't go. Because there's nothing behind the certificate. Right? So we were saved some embarrassment. So what I'm saying is that if God wants to use us to supply something, he has to get something to us so that we have the supply. And again, the pressure is not on me. It's on him to do so. Right? But he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, which is good. I like to reap even if it's sparingly. That's awesome. But watch this. Now watch this. This is really good. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Purposes in his heart. Purposes in his heart. I'd rather have somebody happy about giving a nickel than begrudgingly giving $100. Right? Come on. But I'm believing for people giving thousands of dollars. Right? Not so that I can have. You don't understand. It's so that we can bless more people. Right? That's the purpose. Watch this now. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, everybody say, God is able, to make all grace abound toward you. Now listen to that. His grace, you know that saving grace? I'm saved by grace through faith. That same grace is applied to many different areas. In fact, the grace that I have to do what I'm doing right now is the same grace that I got saved with. Why? Because it's God's gift to me for you, right? Grace is always to us, through us, right? Grace is always, let me say that again. Grace is always to us so that it can be through us. God's grace for giving is the same grace for saving.
Thank you, Lord.
God is able. My giving, if I'll believe God for it, is not tied to my ability. It's tied to His ability. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. See, He's not saying that, listen, I want you to give everything away so that you have nothing. He's saying if you'll have a heart of stewardship, which we're going to talk about, if you'll have a heart of stewardship, I'll give you so that you can give. But you won't be without, because I'll supply your needs also. May have an abundance, every say abundance, in every good work. Now watch this. Somebody asks you, are you a prosperity preacher? Yes, but probably not the way you think. Prosperity, according to the Word of God, is you having enough to do whatever He's called you to do. Right? So if He's asked me to give a big offering, He's going to give me a big resources somehow, right? Glory to God. So what I'm saying is, God is able. This particular verse, back when I was going to Bible school, one of our assignments was is we were supposed to meditate on a verse. This was the second one I did, but meditate on a verse every night for 10 or 15 minutes and journal for a week. So 7 days every night, journal. And the first time I did that, I thought, oh God, how am I going to do that? One verse, and you know, over and over again. But I started doing it. And instead of just paragraphs, I had pages. And when I did this particular verse, I didn't get past "and God is able." And God is able. It's not my ability, but what is God able to do? Anything, everything. What resources are available to Him that makes Him able? And God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I, having all sufficiency, should be able to give to every good work. So how does that work? It's not just finances. It's in everything. You come to me and you say, I'm seeking God for something. I really need an answer. Well, God, I'm available for you to use me to give me a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a scripture that can help this person. Because you're able to make all grace abound toward me that I can give out for every good work. All right? So when we're talking about provision for change, we're talking about God. We want to be a church. We want to be a people who believe You and in Your ability so that we can help others and bring them to Your kingdom and bring Your kingdom to them. Hallelujah. He's a big God. He's a big God. Our faith for doing something begins when it's beyond our ability to do it. Right? If I've got $100 and I know that I can give you $100, that's awesome. But God says, give $1,000. And I go, I'll do it, God, but I don't have it. But because You told me to, I pledge in my heart to do it. And then watch how He brings it in. Because it's not my responsibility at that point, because He spoke to me to do it. Again, I've been in situations where I'm going to talk to people and I'm going, Lord. Or people in my office and they say, Lord, you know, they have this problem. And I'm going, Lord, I don't have a clue how to answer them. They didn't teach us this in Bible school. They didn't cover this particular subject. But I'm going to trust You to use me. Why? Because You're the owner of everything. You have all the answers, but You can use me. Okay, let's get into this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. God is so good. Even the word that Tina gave this morning, it just so fits in. I just love when God does that. See, God can use all of us together. There'll be weeks, and Lila and I never communicate about what I'm going to preach on. But there are so many times where I'll have a subject that God wants put on my heart, and I've got the message already, and worship just leads right into the subject. Why? Because it's the same Holy Spirit, right? Same Holy Spirit. But watch this. In verse, let's start in verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 10 talents, and to another he gave, two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on his journey. And he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, the one who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went out and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, and look, I have gained you 5 more besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Also, he who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. The Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he had received 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you do not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with a bankers, and at the coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given, and he who has abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. See, God is into stewardship. God gives us certain things. In fact, I'll just say this. We've talked about this in the last series. God is given to each one of us an ability to do something for the kingdom of God. Right? But God is looking at it. When he gives it to you, and we covered this again last time, but when he gives it to you, he gives you the ability, he gives you the gifting, he gives you the power, he gives you the resources to carry it out. But oftentimes what we do is we look at what God's asking us to do through our own ability. And we never get out of ourselves saying, Lord, you've given me this talent, so I'm just going to hang on to it. And hopefully, God, you know, you'll use somebody else because I'm not available. See, you're the one that's hidden the talent. And God wants you to say, wait a minute. I need to enter into stewardship rather than ownership. See, because I'm not going to just have something that's mine. I'm going to administer what's his. It's so good. It's so awesome. And this is the mentality that we should have all the time. I want to go back. Well, let's look at this verse and then we'll go back to Genesis. But look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. This is really interesting. Matthew chapter 6 Just one verse. And for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I read this backwards for a lot of time. A lot of time. It's like where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. But no. You can find out where somebody's heart is by what they treasure. What do you put your money in? Where do you put your resources in? Where do you put your time in? That's where your heart is. And if we can change where our heart is by putting our treasure back where it belongs. In other words, if God has you completely and He is the master over everything that you own, then your heart will be with Him. But if your treasure is in your bank account, in your job, in your spouse, in something else, that's where your heart is. And God wants us to get back under the place where He's our source. And that's where we put the treasure. Right? What did He say? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? God, you're first place. You're first place. I need to be a steward of what God has given me. I need to be a steward of everything He's given me responsibility for. When my son was born, and he was the firstborn, and then Donnie came later. What, I'm a blessed man. But anyway, he was born. I was looking down at him, and I said, God, you love me this much? Right? Because, I mean, it's just overwhelming to me. Flesh, he's bone of my bone. This is my son. I said, God, you love me this much? He said, oh, so much more. But Michael does... I've given Michael to you as a gift, but he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. See, as a parent, I'm a steward over the gift that God has given to me. That's helped me out a lot. Even when, you know, my kids make choices that I think, that's not a choice I would make. Well, that's between them and him, because my kids don't belong to me. I just did the best I could to raise them up in the way that they should not go or should go, but God is the one who's going to direct their paths. So watch this. Where's my heart? Well, where's my money at? Where's my money at? The first thing that Renita and I do is whenever we have money is that we tithe off of that money. Why? Because I want my heart tied to money. In other words, Lord, here's my tithe. Some people argue, well, the tithe's not of the New Testament, blah, 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 blah. We're going to get into that a little bit. But if that's where you are, I'm not going to argue with you. That's fine. I'm going to tell you, though, from a testimonial point, that we have tithed, and we've tithed more than 10%. But God has always met our needs. Right? Met our needs. We're driving nice cars. We live in a nice little house. Our life is good. It's blessed because we've done with our finances what God asked us to do. We are stewards of His money. Glory to God. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And again, when I'm talking about provision for change, I'm talking about supernatural kingdom economy. In God's supernatural kingdom economy, it doesn't work on capitalism. It doesn't work on communism. It doesn't work on socialism. It's not a democracy. It's not a dictatorship, but it is a theocracy. Let me say that again. It is a theocracy. It is a theocracy. Watch this. What does that mean? He's in charge. He's in charge. He's in charge. Genesis chapter 1. And look at verse 26. Now, look at this. This is the first Adam, right? This is the first Adam. But listen to this. He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And God made man in his image, and he created them male and female, and he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and every living thing that moves on the earth." God's original design, and has not changed, is for man to have dominion over his life. But watch this. It's also not to just be satisfied with the status quo, but it's to multiply. Multiply. In other words, the gifting that God has given to you, whether it be financial, relational, spiritual, any way, is like, "Lord, you haven't called me to stay the same. You've called me to multiply in your kingdom." You see, the stewardship that God wants for you is for you to trust him to have a supernatural ability to multiply what you have. Come on, what does that mean? That means this. And this is so cool. We're here in this building and we're preaching and you know, you're here. I'm so blessed that you're here. But God did this little thing during COVID where we had to go live stream. Donnie and I, we didn't know how to do it, so we just got Facebook Live. Here's the camera. Go, Dad. And that's what we did. So ever since then, we've been live streaming. This morning, people are watching us online, and some people will watch at other times. But watch this. This is so cool. There's people who've come up to me, and I'm talking when I was in Texas, when I'm in other places. They've come up to me and say, "You know, we were watching you online, and that really ministered to me." What is that? That's multiplication. That's multiplication, right? A kingdom of God things that God is multiplying us to do. But I have to believe God for the anointing to have something that's of value to multiply. But what did God say? God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." What was man's objective from that point on? I'm supposed to be fruitful and multiply. You're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful, what does that mean? That means the love that God has shown me, I'm able to pour out onto somebody else. And God is able to love them through me. I can be an example because I'm a steward of God's love. Right? God's given me things from a material standpoint that I'm able to give to other people. And Renita and I have done it. But it's not caused our lack. It's caused us to be blessed. And I'm convinced, personally convinced, that I need to begin to build up a higher value in my heart of God's ability to work through me. So that I can meet more needs. Yes. Right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if God spoke to my heart to pay off your house? You say, "Yes, amen, yes, amen." Right? And I don't have that ability right now, but could God begin to put in my heart the ability to gain a knowledge of how to multiply so that I could supply? Yes, 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 because that's God's command for us. Just go, and I'll show you in different places, but go to Genesis chapter 8. And this is talking about Noah after everything had been wiped out and It was Noah and his sons were left. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Chapter 9, verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's the same command that he gave to Adam. And he hasn't changed his mind for you and me. Our objective needs to be, God, use me to multiply your kingdom in the earth. And he wants to do that in so many ways. He provision for change is God putting a resource in your hand that you can pass on to somebody else so that they can change and become closer to him. Now watch this. Go with me to 1 Chronicles 29. And again, this morning we were talking about David. And this is the story of David toward the end of his life. But I want to just give you a little glimpse of David. And again, this isn't an in-depth thing, but David started out as a shepherd boy. And he was, you know, his dad, he was taking care of his dad's sheep. What does that mean? He didn't have very much. He was a keeper of the sheep. But the anointing brought him before the king. The anointing brought him before the king. And because he was a steward of God's presence, he stood before Goliath and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine in my presence, in our presence? Everyone here, don't you understand? He was telling his whole clan, the whole nation of soldiers that were gathered, what are you doing? Don't you know that you're the stewards of God's presence? Don't you know that he's provided for you protection and strength and courage and everything that you need to defeat this giant? Shut up, boy. His brother said, who are you? You came out here with a little victuals for us, but who are you? But he kept saying it. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And then he said, what will be given to the man who defeats this guy? Well, your family won't have to pay taxes anymore. You get to have the king's wife, our daughter as a wife. You get, come on. And David said, I'm a source. I'm a steward of God's presence. I've killed the bear, right? I've killed the lion. They couldn't get my sheep. This man is toast in my presence. So he began to amass a fortune over his time going through whatever he went through, but he became king and began to just, I mean, he had so much money. It was crazy. Solomon had more, but he had so much money. Look at this. Now we're going to pick this up in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10. And again, the backstory of this is that he was living in a house that was palatial. I mean, it was palatial for the time. Huge, marble, everything was just first class. And he said in his heart, who am I that I'm dwelling in this beautiful edifice and the presence of God is still in a tent? I want to build a house for the Lord, but the Lord said, you can't do it. Too much blood on your hands, but your son will. Your son will. But David began to store up funds for this particular building. Hallelujah. Watch this, verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and all that is in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom of Lord, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great, to give strength to all. What's he saying? I've got a lot, but it all came from you. I've got a lot, but it's all yours. In other places it says, the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now there's probably some ranchers in Wyoming who say, no, those are my cattle. No, they're not. You're a steward of them, but they don't belong to you. Especially as believers, everything that you own, you should never... I get it. That's my house. That's my car. Right? That's my this and that. In the back of your mind, you should always be going, no. That's not mine. I'm a steward of that. God's given me that to steward, but it belongs to Him. You know what that will do if you really believe it? And I don't care if you're driving, you know, a Bugatti, right? Or if you're driving a 1980 Toyota Tercel that's running on about 3 cylinders and it's barely going, right? It's puffs of smoke coming out the back. Once you understand that that doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God, it should affect the way that you treat whatever you have. Right? So in other words, God has given me a gift in Renita, but Renita doesn't belong to me. She belongs to God, and I'm stewarding that gift because God has given her to me, but she belongs to Him, and I'm going to give an account on how I stewarded my love for her. Right? Right? So everything that I own, everything that I have, everything that I'm responsible for belongs to Him. When I start to get that perspective, it changes everything. Jerry, who's gone home to be with the Lord now, darn his hide. But anyway, he's gone home to be with the Lord. I remember the day that he came and was talking about how the Lord was dealing with him. And if all of you who knew Jerry, he was a giver. I mean, the gift of giving described in the Bible, that was Jerry. And he would give, you know. In fact, I had to wrestle him for bills at the restaurants because he would just pay for everything. Watch this. But he said one day, and he was saying, the Lord started to talk to him about the first fruits. First fruits belong to Him. Now again, this is not a legalism thing, but this is a heart issue. So the Lord was dealing with him and He said, let me see your checkbook. So at the first of the month when you get paid, I see that, you know, the mortgage gets first, the light bill, the, you know, all these, the car payment, all that comes down. And the tithe is down here about 10th. This was just a heart condition for him, right? I'm not putting anybody under bondage. But God said to him, I want you, as a principle of your heart, to start putting me first. Remember when we all had checkbooks? Years ago. Now it's all, you know, direct deposit and out and, you know. But anyway, think of the heart condition. I want you to put me first. So I'm going to do what God has told me to do in my giving or my doing before I'm going to do anything for me. I don't know about you, but I've failed in that many times. But it always works out better when I do what He wants me to do. Right? Come on. And so this morning, what am I saying? I'm saying that for all of us, my life and everything in my life, your life and everything in your life belongs to God. But we have to start putting our attitude back to Him. And He's given us everything that we have, but it's not just so that we can have, it's so that we can multiply and bless others. And the more that we can be counted on and trusted with the multiplication of what we have, the more that He'll give us to multiply and to give away. Right. See, so we're talking about provision for change. It's not just provision for me to change. It's provision so that God can use me to change somebody else. Let me just end with this. You don't know what your obedience to God is going to do for the person that you're giving it to. You might see somebody and you say, God says to give them, you know, $20 or buy them lunch at Burger King. Give them some money. You know, just take them out and you go, oh, Lord, I don't have the time and I don't. Just do it.
Right.
Just do it. And then that person, and you don't always have to know the outcome, but that person might be just going, Lord, I just need something from you. I just need to know that you got my back. Just something. And all of a sudden you come in as an answer to their prayer and say, you don't know what this means to me. One story. A friend, this is years ago. And there was a person that was on his heart. And so he called them up. And he didn't know this person very well, but God put him on his heart. He said, and I'm just a fictitious name, George, God told me to call you. You don't have to say anything else. I was just in my prayer closet feeling like God had abandoned me. Like God was far away from me. Like He didn't know where I existed anymore. And just the fact that you said that God put you on my heart to call means that God still cares for me.
Yeah.
See, you don't have to have a lot, but what you have must be put in His hands so that He can use you to multiply it to somebody else. Amen? Did y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. Let's chew on that. Let's pray over that. If I could have the worship team come on up. We're going to worship with a song. But Father, I just thank you for everybody that's watching, everybody that's here. I thank you for the new folks who've come this morning. Lord, I ask you to bless them. All those who couldn't be here this morning, bless them, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship that we're going to have upstairs in a few minutes. But God, I ask you to just cement on each one of our hearts two things. We belong to you, and everything that we have belongs to you. And so, Lord, we give you everything right now in Jesus' name. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. We give you our families. We give you every possession that we call ours actually belongs to you. And we put it in your hands in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for blessing all those that are watching online. If they need a healing touch from you, touch them, Lord. If they need finances, God, bring them provision, Lord. We thank you that you're moving on them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory for everything that you're doing in Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's the entrance into the kingdom. He said, no man comes to the Father but by Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean? I need to understand that I need a Savior, and Jesus fills the bill. And so, Jesus, I lay my life at your hands right now. My heart is in your hands, and I'm going to live my life for you the rest of my life. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you. I believe in my heart, and so I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead. And because of that fact, Lord, you have brought me into your kingdom. I give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And from this day forward, with your help, I'll live for you the best that I can. In Jesus' name.